Well, welcome to the Novice Teacher Track. Thank you for being here, and thank you for answering God's call to teach school. I heard recently that teachers are becoming an endangered species, so I'm glad to see there's still some left. And hopefully, your teaching can instill the desire in your students to be a teacher when they grow up. So for the order of the class, I'll give an introduction and ask some questions about you to make us teachers better able to teach and know how to answer your questions. Then Larry Kurtz will give his introduction and have a topic, the privilege of teaching. And then afterwards, Brian Stover will get up and give an introduction and then close in prayer, especially for the first year teachers. So my name is Derek Overholt. I grew up in Whiteville, Tennessee, where I was fortunate to attend only one school from kindergarten through high school. I had Mark Yoder for my kindergarten teacher, and then he also taught me in grades 6 through 12. It was very interesting. Our kindergarten class, it was just me and one other boy, and Mark Yoder was only 17 years old when he taught us in kindergarten. So look back, and I shudder to think what a hard time he must have had. I remember, I don't know how many kindergartners get spanked, but I remember I got spanked in kindergarten. Because one day he was talking, and we were supposed to be doing a lesson, and instead of writing answers down like I was supposed to be doing, I just made a little scribble. Every time I was supposed to write something, I just make a little scribble. And at the end of the, I'm not sure when he caught it, but he came over and was like, "What in the world are you doing? You know, I'm just scribbling instead of writing." I don't know why I did it. I don't even remember. Like, it's not like I was feeling rebellious or something, but it was not what I was supposed to be doing. And I remember he took me out, and we went downstairs, and we stood there by the water fountain. If any of you ever been in Whiteville, Tennessee, you'll know where I'm talking about. The water fountain there, and there was a phone right there, and he called my dad up and was like, "Hey, you know, this is what happened. Do you think I should give him a spanking?" Dad's like, "Yeah, most certainly." anyway, he was an excellent teacher. And I found myself modeling my teaching style after him. It's easy to see that he loved teaching, and he took time to talk with us. Remember in the upper graders, we were having some boy-girl problems. And I remember him taking me aside one day and talking to me about that. I knew that he cared about me. He wanted me to learn the important things in life. And that really stuck with me. I was blessed with good teachers. And because of that, I wanted to be a teacher when I grew up. Moved to Dixon, Tennessee when I was 18 years old, and I substituted one day a week for part of the year. And then when I was 21, I stepped in my very own classroom and taught there for 4 years. Then I took 2 years off, and I moved to Commerce, Texas, married Evelina Garber on April 15, 2016, and after a wonderful year of marital bliss, I returned to the classroom and taught another 4 years. Probably my most embarrassing moment in school was when I was awakened one morning by my phone ringing, and it was my co-teacher, and she's like, "Where are you at?" And I looked at the time, and it was like, you know, 15 minutes before school was supposed to start, and I was wide awake very fast, moving fast very quickly, and made it to school as they were having the devotions, and it was very embarrassing. But see, the reason was the night before was PTA, and there were some serious things we had to talk about. And I remember laying awake that night trying to solve all of the problems we were having, you know. And anyway, that was my excuse anyway. But we now have 4 children. Alec is 8. Megan is 6, Alana is 4, and Malachi is age 1. So if you hear some hollering or run into some children fighting or something like that, it's probably mine playing foosball or something like that. We committed, as we are involved in school, we want to keep our family, do things together as a family. So it's not always easy to be at a place like this with a family, but I want our family to stay together. I'm not currently teaching, but I'm on the school board at home, and my wife taught for 4 years. Both of us, we still have a love for teaching and education, and so we still are involved pretty heavily in that. We work with Brian Stovers as homeschool at homeschool conventions, doing exhibiting curriculum, and also I'm a school rep for Christian Light. So, any school teachers here from Texas, Arkansas, or Oklahoma? Okay. So I hope maybe I'll get to visit your school this year. All right, I've got a few questions now just to get an idea of who we're teaching here. One of the laws of teaching is to know your students. So how many of y'all are preparing for your first year of teaching? Raise your hand. Okay, almost everyone. Anyone that has taught already 1 year at least? Okay, all right, so everyone is first year teachers. How many of y'all will be teaching at least some rod and staff curriculum? Raise your hand. Okay, and how about Christian Light curriculum? Okay, so it's about half and half, and maybe some of y'all are teaching both, I don't know. How many of y'all will be teaching grades 1 or 2? If y'all want to be writing any of this down, that was about 8. Grades 3 through 5. Okay, maybe, and again, I'm sure some of this is both. And then grades 6 through 8. All right, thank you. Will any of you be teaching the whole school in a one-room classroom? Anybody? One? Okay. All right, bless your heart. How many of you will be teaching at your home church? Okay. That's not quite half. 15. How many of you dreamed of becoming a teacher someday? It's always interesting. It doesn't seem like there's that many teachers that dream of becoming a teacher someday. How many of you said you would never be a teacher? Okay, a few of those. And how many of you had an outstanding teacher in school? Okay, wow, that is awesome. I just was thinking about this morning when Mr. Peters was talking. I just don't know what we would do without those teachers that gave everything to be a teacher and to influence children. And if you had one, be thankful for that. Not everyone has that. And also, what was your prior occupation? Do we have any that were involved in farming? Raise your hand. What about construction? Okay, some. Working in a store? Okay. And working at home? All right, what about nurse training or EMT, firefighter? Okay, what was that?
I did phlebotomy, like blood draws.
Okay, blood draws, okay.
I wasn't a nurse.
Okay, very good. All right, and have any of you been in the novice track before? Anybody? Okay. All right, thank you for your attention. I'll turn the time over to Larry.
So there's a handout coming to you if you don't have one. And I'm sorry, I should have hole punched it, but hopefully there's one around here somewhere where they can do that if you want to stick it in your folder. Or you can throw it in the trash. But hopefully I have something of value to share with you. So I'm Larry, and I look forward to being a part of this. And this is my first time doing this, and so I may be as nervous as you, but I'm excited about this opportunity. Let's stand, and let's sing Our Father in Heaven. Do you all know that song? 828 in the Hymns of the Church. How many of you know that one? Okay, let's sing that.
Our Father in Heaven, we hallow thy name. May thy kingdom, holy on earth, daily our portion of bread. It is from thy bounty that all must be fed. Forgive our transgressions. instructions and teach us to know that humble compassion which pardons each foe. Oh, give to us daily our portion of bread. It is from thy bounty that all must be fed.
So one of the privileges of teaching is that you get to sing with an awesome group of people every day. And before you sit down, I would like for you all to be with someone that you don't know, and might have to do a little bit of shuffling around, and tell your story of how you got asked to teach. And think of a one-word emotion that went with that. And so I'm thinking of groups of three or so. And so go ahead. And you can do a short introduction as well. But this is just something for us to get started talking a little bit. So you may be seated. You can shuffle your chairs around. But think of a word. Think of a word that describes your emotion. Short. We don't want to spend too much time with this. Seconds to finish. You may be seated. And I would just like to write, hopefully you thought about your emotion that you would like to tell us about. So could we have some of them? What was an emotion that you experienced?
Come on. Apprehension.
Apprehension. And? So I still didn't really introduce myself. So as I said, I'm Larry. I am currently teaching in Wytheville, Virginia, which is in the southwestern part of Virginia. And I have taught there 9 years, and I'm going into my 10th year there. I was born in Belleville, Pennsylvania, and my family moved to Belleville, New York, which is upstate New York, far from New York City, right close to Lake Ontario. Grew up on a dairy farm, and I lived there. So I don't remember living in Pennsylvania, but that's where I grew up, in New York. And then did a lot of dairy farming, built mini barns, and a pretty normal Mennonite boy life, I guess you could say. And then when I was 21, I went to Faith Mission Home. I served there. And a great experience, and prepared me in a lot of ways for being a teacher. And after that experience, I was asked to move to Virginia, and where I am currently. And it has been a great experience. Absolutely love it. And after 7 years, I decided I needed to push myself further. And so I took a break for 2 years and went to Faith Builders as a TAP student, which is the teacher apprenticing program, and thoroughly enjoyed that. But I was ready to be done. But it was just fun being a student again. And so, yeah, that was great. And now I've been back there from that for several years now. A little bit about myself. I'm a pretty chill guy. I don't like reading. You're like, what? I'm a teacher? Yeah, I wondered that about myself. I enjoy anything outdoors. So backpacking, I'm an archery hunter. Yeah, I throw some discs around. I'm not a pro. What else do I enjoy? Yeah, mountain biking, things like that. So I have lived there in Virginia now for the last, I guess it's been close to 12 years. I moved there in 2014, and that's what I call home. But my story, so you all have shared some of your stories. My story as a teacher has probably started, I'm going to say it started back when I broke my back. So back when I was 15, almost 16 years old, I was messing around up in a tree. And someone had just built a tree stand. It was just a homemade built tree stand. And I climbed up the tree, higher than the tree stand, and on the way back down, I was coming down, and I hopped onto the tree stand platform, and there was a knot in the board. So inertia won. I kept going. And or gravity won. And broke my back. It's a long story. But in saying all that, my doctor had told me that it would be good if I would think about my life as far as occupation. He didn't think it was necessarily wise that I would be a framer or work in construction all my years just to take care of that. And so that was kind of in the back of my mind. I went to Faith Mission, and usually after you're done at Faith Mission, either you get married or you teach school. So I took the teach school route. And it has been just a really good experience. And I am so glad for the privilege of teaching. It's just so good. I do remember those first several months, though, after I was asked, I wasn't sure what to do. After I farewelled at Faith Mission, I farewelled in June, and school obviously starts August-ish. And during that time, I had a friend in Oregon, and his family is involved in the grass seed harvest, the hay harvest. And so I went out there for the summer, and I was a farmer. It was a lot of fun. And one of the guys I worked with was also a teacher, Conrad Smucker. I don't know how many of you know him, but I worked with him quite a bit. And I just remember sitting in the tractor with him when I got a chance, and we would discuss school, and I would ask him questions. And all my questions were about, like, what do I put on the walls? How do I do this? And looking back, that's an unimportant question, by the way. Actually, it's not really. But it's not the most important question. But it was good. And that first week of school, my sisters came down to help me. They were still in New York, but they came all the way to Virginia to help me. And I was done. I just didn't know what to do. I thought it was really, really, really important to have a theme for my classroom, and I remember just not knowing where to go with it. And they didn't seem to be much of a help until I decided what to do. And I remember going on a drive. It was, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 o'clock. We were done at school. I said, let's just leave. And so we went on a drive back some dirt roads, and we went past the graveyard, and I was like, I think I should have a graveyard theme, because that kind of tells you how I was feeling. So anything was an option at that point. But I do also remember, I think it was like the second or third, maybe it was later, a month after school started perhaps, I specifically remember driving out the school driveway and thinking to myself, I can't believe I get this opportunity. I was so excited. And that was in my first year. And there have been times when that wasn't as evident, but I definitely felt a lot of joy and felt that privilege is something that goes with teaching. And so the word privilege implies that there's a special honor or benefit from this occupation. And it would have been fun to have documented all your initial reactions and the first words that came from your mouth when you were first asked to teach. It'd be fun to have a nice splattering of them up here on the wall for everyone to see. Maybe you'd be ashamed of yours. But the reactions were likely quite varied. And some of you were elated. Finally, I was able to teach. Or others of you were probably like, you're kidding me. They have no idea who they asked to be their teacher. But there are two categories that I think about when I think about privilege, the privilege of teaching. And my objective for this talk is that every teacher needs to wrestle with those privileges of teaching by observing the example of Jesus and other biblical teachings of the Bible. And I believe that privileges are given on the basis of trust, and they assume some kind of responsibility. So this involves, so this privilege, I think the first fill in the blank there, this involves blessing and responsibility. So we usually think of a privilege as being a positive thing, and I think that's great. Privilege is definitely positive. But it implies that someone trusted you. And it also implies that with this privilege, there will also be some responsibility. So it's so important to keep that in mind. So let's dive into this, and let's look at the life of Jesus and other biblical teachings that will help us to know how to wrestle with these responsibilities and blessings. So looking at some of the emotions that we talked about earlier. So apprehension, unwillingness, fear, those are all, we would say, negative. So maybe if that was you, you need to think about the blessings that come from this. And if you're happy, there's joy, you were relieved, there's excitement, maybe you need to think about the responsibilities that come with this to try to balance out your emotion. And by the way, those are all good emotions to have. I'm not dissing anything that's up there. But there are two sides to a privilege. So first of all, Jesus as a role model. So you will be a role model. Are you ready for that? And it's serious business. And so let's look at what Jesus did. And there's so many things that he was as a master teacher that we could talk about for the rest of this week. But there's just a few things that I'm going to highlight. First one that I have, and this is a command, thinking about Jesus as a role model, the first one that I have is to go about your Father's business. Go about your Father's business. This is a responsibility for you. And I love the little story at the end of Luke 2, and I'm just going to read it to you. And listen, think about what Jesus did to prepare himself for his work. So every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover, When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking that he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. I just find that kind of humorous. Like, Derek, would you go a whole day? Like, oh, my little boy didn't show up. Well, if he's not here by tomorrow, I'll go look for him. Culture was definitely a lot different back then, but anyway. So when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts. And what was he doing? He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. Love that. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And then Jesus is like, "Why are you searching for me?" He asked, "Didn't you know that I had to be about my father's business? Didn't you know I had to be about my father's business?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. That's loaded. Go about your father's business. You need to grow in so many ways as a teacher. And there's a lot that you can do to prepare yourself for this work. You need to sit among people that know stuff and ask questions and be curious about what does it take to be a person that is in favor with God and with man. So that includes spiritual things. It includes earthly wisdom. That's important too. We need to know how to interact with other people. We need to know how to interact with our world. And there's just a lot of learning to do. So go about your father's business. Jesus felt his calling, and he didn't mess around to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So let's go. Don't mess around. Dig in and apply yourself to the work. Another point that I have with Jesus as a role model is to confront problems. There's several stories that we could look to that show how Jesus interacted when there was a problem. But when there was squabbles among his disciples, you know, Jesus addressed them. Like, he sat down and says, "What's going on?" Like, you know, they were arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom and other things that they would argue about. And Jesus would take the time. He would stop what he was doing and talk about it. And so in your classroom, sometimes there's problems that come up. And it's so important that you address the elephant in the room before you continue teaching. And that is, it's in those moments when the students will remember you and they saw what was priority in your life as a teacher. I have memories of that. And there's students that talk about those things. And I give God the glory for that. But I remember one day there was a discussion that came up in our devotions. Start school at 8:30. And there was something that came up that I just felt, you know what, we're just going to go on with this for as long as it goes. And we spent the entire first period talking about it. And there's students that still remember that. And it was so good. We missed a lesson in math. We'll figure that out later. So confront problems. Talk about them. Another one. Jesus told stories. So tell stories. Jesus did this all the time with parables. Embrace who you are and let your stories speak. All of us are insecure in some ways, and we may think that my story is so lame. I was just a farmer. I built mini barns, and then I was asked to teach. I didn't do any traveling. I didn't do this. I don't have these credentials. None of that stuff. Your story. They love your stories. Your stories matter. And embrace who you are. Like, this is who I am. Don't try to be someone that you're not. And I have to tell myself that. I'm told that Jonah guy, I forget his name, was a very dynamic speaker. and I heard a little bit of him, and he was very, I don't know if you would call him a comedian, but he loved to tell stories, and so I felt a bit intimidated by that I need to take his place here. But embrace who you are. Your story has something for your students. Another one is take time to be alone. I'm thinking especially of when Jesus went up on a mountain to be alone, even when his disciples were in trouble out on the Sea of Galilee. So a number of years ago, I had the privilege of being in Israel, and we went up on this mountain where they believed Jesus went that overlooks the Sea of Galilee. So it brings the story to life a bit more for me, because Jesus was likely up on that mountain and he saw what was going on down there in the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus being God, obviously he knew anyway. But Jesus was not that far away and he saw them out there struggling, but he was alone with God. He needed that time. So while you need to invest and you need to make your students your priority, take care of yourself. Spend time with God, even when there's a lot of heat in the moment. You can't be everything. You're not the savior of your students. And it is so important that you get your strength from God. And if that means that you need to go spend some time alone, take some solitude, that is so important. Jesus is our example in that. And the last one I have with that is serve with humility. We heard a lot about this morning. But Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Such a great example. And there's many other things that we could point to Jesus' life that show that he was just a humble man. As a teacher, you are an authority. But authority does not give you permission to be authoritative. I mean, to a certain degree, yes, but you need to learn how to serve your students. All right, let's move on to biblical responsibility. So what are some others? So this is just a section of some. What are some other verses in Scripture that you should think about as a teacher and your responsibility? One that I think about is in 1 Timothy 4:12, where it says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." That covers a lot of things. So you will be the one that represents the Christian faith to your students for a large part of their day. And so don't be ashamed of that. What you believe, hopefully it's anchored in who Jesus is and who you find yourself to be in Jesus. And your speech shows it, your conduct shows it, your love shows it, your faith shows it, and your whole life is just saturated with who Jesus is because you know him. And you are unashamed of that. Don't let anyone, mock you for that, or just accept that and love the fact that you know Jesus and you're going to tell people about him, and especially your students. Another one is, not many of you should be teachers. You're like, thanks for telling me now. But there's a verse that talks about that, and I've often kind of been jolted by that. But James 3 verse 1 says that not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. So, I'm not here telling you that you made the wrong decision. I'm here to tell you that beware. We are, as teachers, we are the presenters of truth. We are telling students what they should believe to be truth. And that is pretty serious. And so don't get too carried away. It's okay to share opinions, but make sure what you speak is truth. We will be responsible for the things that we say. There's a reason this verse is here for us. And when we are set straight, receive it with humility. I do remember one incident I'm not sure what it came up, but it had something to do with a church standard that was a pretty hot topic. And with us being a church school, and teaching upper grades, high school, they love to discuss those kinds of things. And I made a comment, and it was a pretty strong comment, and it was something down the line of, well, if this happens, I'm out of here. I mean, I didn't say it in those words, but pretty much. And yeah, not long after that, a pastor came to me and referenced that comment. And yep, my bad. Be careful about what you say. We need to serve with humility, and we need to present truth, and we need to, nothing wrong with sharing opinions, but let's share them in love and in respect to whatever the circumstance is. Another one is, fully trained students become like their teacher. So that's similar to what we were talking about earlier. But this comes from Luke 6, verse 40. Jesus said this. He said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. So, are you okay with your students becoming like you are? Just think about that for a minute. Do you really want your students to be who you are? Is that okay with you? It's unbelievable how much influence it is passed on from your life as a teacher to your students. I see this in so many ways. The song that we just sang, I sang that song with my students for years. It's a prayer. I just think it's a great song, and it comes up at my students' weddings and places like that. And so, your influence goes a long way. Are you okay with what you are passing on to your students? Be responsible. And another one is the letter D. I have, train up a child in the way he should go. And that comes from the verse in Proverbs. So that's a pretty simple statement. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. And so I'm going to spend some time talking about this one just a little bit. To think about the responsibility of taking a child and developing him into a fully grown person, or into a person that will be of some value in God's kingdom and in the community, we have to help them through that process. That's quite a process. I mean, think about the things that you struggled with when you were a child and you became an adult. There was just a lot of injustice. There was a lot of selfishness. There was a lot of anxiety, all kinds of things that you experienced as a child when you were making that transition into an adult. And so in thinking about this, a number of years ago, was made aware of this book, Artificial Maturity by Tim Elmore. And he points out that, you know, as a child, there are five basic messages that we make sure a child understands. And then that needs to change as they become an adult. And so there's quite a range of ages that we're teaching here. Some of you will be teaching children, and they need to hear some of these messages. And others of you are teaching older students, so they need to hear a different set of messages. So this is what he says. This is from Tim Elmore in his book, Artificial Maturity. But he says, as children, so children from when they're born to about age 10 or 11, they need to know that they're loved. They need to know that they have gifts. They need to know that they are safe. They need to know that they are valuable. And they need to know that they are unique. I'll go over those again. So young children need to know that they are loved, that they have gifts, that they are safe, that they are valuable, and that they are unique. But, so let's think about this a little bit. So would it be healthy for you to take those five messages and take them into adulthood? You think that's a good idea? Well, the reality is, well, let's not talk about that. We live in a world that loves to have their rights, correct? It's just a bad mindset. And so, he suggests that, you know, when a child reaches, you know, 11, 12 years old, they're becoming adults, they need to hear a completely different set of messages. And I will warn you, some of these feel pretty harsh. But this is the reality. So, are you ready? Life is difficult. You are not in control. You are not that important. Your life is not about you. And last of all, you're going to die. Let me go over those again. Life is difficult. You are not in control. You are not that important. You're going to die. And life is not about you. So, pretty harsh. But, are you learning those things? I'm sure we all would have stories that making that transition from thinking that we were really someone special to actually feeling, you know what? I'm not that important. I'm just here doing my thing. And so, obviously, there's all kinds of things that we could talk about in these messages. But just as a general rule, your job as a teacher is to train up a child in the way he should go. And that means taking a child from those first five messages we talked about and helping them transition into those last five messages we talked about. And helping them just know how to interact with that in a healthy way. It's a big job. So, let's move on to some practical blessings. And I don't have a whole lot here, and I'm not going to talk about these that much. But what are some blessings that come with being a teacher? First of all, you will likely be respected in the community because of your job. So, there's respect in the community. And once again, with blessings, there's always a ditch. So, I'll just say it's pretty easy to lose respect as well. If you work in the public like that, it takes effort to be respected in a community, but that can pretty easily be lost. So, but in general, teachers are respected in a community, and I can't tell you how many times I meet a new person, and they ask what I do and all that, and I tell them, teacher, oh yeah, interesting, and then they ask how many years I taught, and I tell them like, oh. Wow, that's awesome. We need people like you. They say that almost every single time. Yes, thank you. I love it. But be careful with that. But there is the blessing of being respected in the community. Oh, there's relationships. There's something about being a teacher that really gets you involved pretty deeply in other people's families. And you see in their families pretty clearly, it won't take long. And turns out that parents are actually kind of intimidated by that. But use it as an opportunity to build relationships. There's just a lot of good relationships that come from being a teacher. And I have to think of, so my brother lives with me, and we both moved into the community, and it was much easier for me to transition in the community than it was for him. He just had, I shouldn't say just had, But he was involved in construction, and I was involved in teaching. And for me, it didn't take long at all to find my place in the community. And for him, it was a struggle. But teaching really gives you some good inroads into developing relationships. And those are so valuable in so many ways. Another one I have is a stimulating environment to learn. So probably if you're a teacher, you enjoy learning. I could also say probably if you're a teacher, you enjoy reading. Well, that's not true for me. But it is, I do enjoy learning. And this gives you an opportunity to learn in so many different ways, and maybe even for free. I know a lot of schools support their teachers in going to places like this, other conferences, and they pay for you to be able to experience those things. And if they don't, you should talk to them about that. But it's such a gift. Like, how else? Like, what other opportunities do you have out there where you can just go learn all you want for free and get paid for it? It's pretty amazing. So it's such a blessing. And ultimately, you just have a place to fill in the community. And there's nothing like being or feeling like you belong. And every person wants to belong and feel a sense of purpose. And so as a teacher in the community, you have a place. And it's a pretty valuable place. So protect that. There could be other things. For me, I get lots of free meals. The moms in my school pack my lunch. They have for 10 years. I rarely have to pack a lunch. My worst day of the year is when we do lunch exchange and I have to pack a lunch for whoever. And there's so many other things. There are so many other things. Well, those are some things I think about. So treasure those things. Don't take them for granted. And, there's one other thing I want to talk about, and I don't have this on your paper, but you may be thinking, how in the world am I qualified for this job? And every time I think about this thing of being qualified for something, I go back to when I was at Faith Mission, we had what they called staff training, and where you would spend a day or two being trained in your work. And there was someone in the administration had a devotional one morning that talked about 1 Corinthians 1 and how we are qualified for the work. And so I just want to read to you 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 through 31. It says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many more were powerful, and not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." So it's simple. You are qualified because God called you. And let that be enough. You're qualified because God called you. And I don't read these verses to you to tell you that you all are weak, you all are foolish, you all don't know much. But the reality is, it's kind of true. Even for me. We don't come into this with much experience. And you probably feel that way a lot. But God will use you in powerful ways. And because he has chosen you, you're qualified. So take that promise with you. There's lots of other biblical promises that could go with that. So a teacher gets involved in people's lives, and it's definitely a privilege. And sometimes quite personally, and there's a lot of privileges that go with that. And I just say, to conclude this, that you should protect those relationships. Protect your privilege with humility, respect, and love. God bless you all.
I don't know if it's easier to start or finish, but you've heard a lot already this morning. So thank you to Derek and Larry for taking their places already this morning. Yes, Larry, it's rather intimidating to step into a track like this. I was in your shoes last year, and it's a little intimidating. So thank you, Larry. You've done well. Appreciate you both. And I enjoy teaching this track along with these other brothers over here. So hopefully you'll enjoy it. This week too. I'm Brian. Found my identity today, finally. So, come to these events to get it. I'm married. My wife Michelle is here, and our children are here. We have the book stand over here, so my wife helps me. Well, she takes a lot of that on a week like this. So, my oldest daughter is 14. Three girls, and then twin boys. So the whirlwind around here are my twin boys. They're 5 years old, and they don't sit still much. So. I started teaching the fall after we got married, and I taught for 4 years in a well-established school at my home church, church where I grew up, and then I was out of the classroom for a couple of years. Church change happened, and you know, a lot of water over the bridge through situations like that. So I was out of the classroom for 2 school years, and I've been back now in the classroom for 9 years in a small school in Northeast Texas. School had been going for 1 year when I stepped in, and it's a very different feel versus a well-established school versus a new school. Wouldn't say one is better than another, but there's a distinct difference. So I've been there now. As a part of that, I'm headed back this fall to teach. So because I believe that's where God called me, and I believe that's why you're teaching too, right? Because God is calling you into a classroom, and hopefully you come to love what you're doing and you teach for years. So that's partly why I'm going back too, because I love doing it. Every year I kind of feel like a rookie, because as students change and life changes, as I change, the feel and the dynamic of the classroom changes. And so don't think that, yes, you get a lot of experience as you teach, but it, at least for me, still often feels like I'm a rookie and still learning. So if I had a few key things, I would say be confident, but be humble. And stop and think. As you face things in your classroom, just, yes, we've got to confront problems, but a lot of problems you have a little bit of time to think about. For me, that's been a hard one to learn. Don't just jump. Stop and think where you're jumping to. Quick little story on that. This is just a couple of years ago. My students, I like to give them a day or so at least in the class, in a school year, where they can study wherever they want to. They still have to do their work, but they can go study other places. And I had 3 or 4 girls about the same age, same grade. And can they go sit on the shed roof out here to study? Like, good luck. If you can get up there, I guess go ahead. Didn't think twice about it because I didn't think they would get up there. Well, don't give them a challenge like that. They hauled picnic tables over, stacked picnic tables up, got up on top of the shed roof, and they studied. Well, guess what? Dad called me that evening. One of the dads, kind of wondering what was going on with this. Yeah, that was my mistake. I'm sorry. I didn't stop and think. Yeah, it was a hazard. I mean, they could have fallen off the shed roof. So stop and think before you just do, and don't issue too many challenges to your students, because they will probably take you up on them. So, when you need encouragement, Lamentations 3, verse 21 through 26 speaks of God's mercies, and it speaks of his faithfulness, and those mercies are new every morning. And so our hope is in God. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And I would definitely echo one of the things Larry said, find that quiet time when you need it. In our day and age, bombarded with so much, find that quiet time and find your renewal in God. So, thank you for your willingness to teach. As Derek said, we want to have prayer here specifically for you, for your willingness to teach, for your classroom, for your students. It's not too early to be praying for them. Maybe you have already. Maybe really quickly, somebody has a specific fear that you'd like to just get out in the open. Now, I know that's pretty vulnerable, especially this early in a week when we really don't know who each other is. Anybody want to be vulnerable enough, and you have any particular fear going into this next year? And that's fine. I don't know that I would have been willing to speak fear either. But I'm sure you have things you're apprehensive about, right? How's it going to go? Am I going to survive? You know, am I qualified? Do I have what it takes? No, you don't. But God has exactly what you need in store for you. So we want to pray for you in that. So if you will, go ahead and stand. I think, they were all new teachers, right? So just everybody stand up. We're not going to, and we're just going to pray for you here. And I think our time's just about up. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of working alongside of you. You call us into various positions and places, and you're calling these teachers into a new position. And so, Father, I thank you for their willingness to work in this field, their willingness to step into this position of being a teacher, being a role model. And thank you, Father, that you've given us an example, that you've shown us how to do that, and that you give us the strength. Father, I pray for all the schools represented here by these teachers and all the students, Father, that you could just prepare hearts, prepare classrooms, open doors, shut doors, Lord, whatever you have in store for all of us as we go into our classrooms this year. Just bless our students, bless us with love, with peace, with confidence in you, with humility, relying on your strength to teach these students. And Father, I know there's fears in our hearts as we go into these classrooms of how's it going to work out? What am I going to have to face? What are the students going to challenge me with? Do I have what it takes, Lord? And we just thank you that you have what it takes to get us through, and that you have given us the spirit of love and of a sound mind, and that by relying on you, we can face our fears and overcome those fears. And so, Lord, just bless these teachers as they learn this week, that you would help them not to feel overwhelmed, but that you would help them to just soak up the many truths and blessings, and that you would bless them as they go and serve you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you. You're dismissed, and we hope to see you in some of the future sessions. We also, I think, want to be available if you have questions. It's a little easy to kind of be like, well, I'm the instructor. I see you up here. I teach you. And then we disappear and go drink coffee. And you're like, well, wonder if he has any other input on things. I want to be available, and I think they do too as well. So hopefully we're not intimidating.